psalmist sang, "In you, O Lord, I take refuge. Incline your ear to me and save me." Our gathering hymn this morning is number 428, "Love Your House, O God," 428. Let us offer prayer. Creator God, the rising and falling of the tide give us a picture of your faithfulness. The mist reminds us of the mystery that surrounds you. The light of the sun provides us with the symbol of your warmth and love. The night speaks to us of the shade given to us by your grace. The fruit that plants bear tells of the hope that you grant us. The clouds are a symbol of the great cloud of witnesses that has preceded us in the history of the church. O God, whose mercy is higher than the sky above us, you have granted us many gifts and provided us with care and understanding. We confess that we've sometimes disappointed you, shattering the dreams that you had for us. Forgive us for spoiling the earth through our greed and carelessness, for rejecting your wise guidance, and for hurting others by our poor choice of words, by our harsh attitudes, and by our selfish actions. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. These words we will also hear in our psalm this day. You, O God, are my rock and my fortress. On you am I leaned from my earth, from my youth. And in these words we will hear from the prophecy of Jeremiah. Do not be afraid, Jeremiah, for I am with you and I will deliver you. Those two quotations from readings for this day be for us an assurance of the grace of God, grace that gives to us and speaks to us of the peace of God. We rejoice in that peace, we embrace it, and we seek to live in that peace. That being the case, may we make this sign to one another, to those about us in the church, to be signed as a sign of our love for God's peace and our desire to live in God's peace. And may the peace of Christ be with you all. We make ourselves ready now for the readings for the 12th Sunday in the period of Pentecost. Let us pray. You come to us in many ways, O God, and you receive us in prayers. We thank you for your presence among us at all times, and for the ways by which, particularly through the scriptures, you speak to us of your will and of your desires. May we sense not only your presence, but also your will and desires in the readings that we are about to be offered. In Christ's name, amen. Let us remain seated and sing the hymn, "Will Your Anchor Hold?" Number 744, "Will Your Anchor Hold?" Deliver me and rescue me, incline your ear to me and save me. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel. some background now with respect to the next three readings before the state offers them. First of all, the call of Jeremiah, the beginning of the prophecy of Jeremiah. It follows the pattern that is seen in some of the calls to prophets and other leaders. A sense of God's calling, a reluctance or a pulling back, a reassuring word from God. In this case, you will hear of action being taken to reassure Jeremiah. And finally, a word from God for the prophet to declare in his teaching. Then a very short reading from the letter to the Hebrews in the New Testament. It's a longer reading for this day. It shows the last two verses. It speaks of God as presenting a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and it presents God symbolized by fire. Finding the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Here we find Jesus taking the initiative, acting first, to bring healing and help and support to somebody who had been in difficulty for 18 long years. We're making considerable reference to that story in the course of our meditation. We now hear the three readings for the 12th Sunday in Pentecost.
A reading from the book of Jeremiah. Now the word came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, ah, God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command of you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, said the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks, by which we offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For indeed, our God is a consuming fire. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, woman, you are set free from your ailment. When he laid his hand on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, there are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, but not on the Sabbath day. But the Lord answered him and said, you hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day? When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things he was doing. The word of the Lord. Let's speak to God.
A voice from the blueberry field. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In many parts of Nova Scotia these days, the 2022 blueberry harvest is well underway. When I, as a farm boy from Ontario, arrived in Nova Scotia a long time ago, I grew up in an area where there was not any blueberry farming. And so I was surprised to learn about one feature of blueberry farming. In the preparation for the growing season, fields are set on fire. At first, that seemed to me to be counter to what one would do and what one would carry out. But I soon learned how vital that burning is for blueberry farming. There has to be cleansing, purging, destroying in order for there to be stimulation of new plant growth and development. Fields have to be renewed and refreshed and able to bear a bountiful crop of that very delicious fruit. At the end of our reading today from the letter to the Hebrews, we were presented with fire as an image of God. Fire, a source of light, of warmth, with the power to purify, to cleanse, and to purge. Fire that is used to stimulate and refresh, also used sometimes by artists to bring about something that is being made or formed to its desired shape. What a rich symbol then we have for God in fire. God who can destroy, who can purge, who can cleanse and hurt. God who can restore, stimulate and refresh, who gives light and displays the warmth of God's compassion. Then this image gives us an echo of the commission given to that young boy, Jeremiah, when he sensed that God was calling him to be a prophet of Israel. Jeremiah was appointed to uproot, to pull down, to overthrow, and he was also appointed to build up and to plant. Through a somewhat reluctant Jeremiah, the grace of God was to be expressed through the teachings of this young prophet in terms of the qualities of fire and in terms of the qualities of blueberry farming. That is, it will be purging and restoring. The commission given to the young Jeremiah describes the two-part role of, the two-fold role of the grace of God. The challenge of correct to give comfort and support. And now to that delicious reading from the Gospel of Luke, providing us with a vivid picture of the two-fold flavor of the grace of God. In the story you heard, there's challenge and there is comfort. So let's take a closer look. Jesus notices while he's teaching in the synagogue, a woman, unnamed, who had been bent over for 18 years, quite unable, says the text, to stand up straight in that long period of time. Can you imagine the disruption in her life for this long period? She would definitely be isolated, excluded from many opportunities, lonely, held back, missing out on many social relationships, and enduring constant troubling pain. Jesus approached the woman. He took the initiative and laid his hands upon her, and while he did so, he said to her, "Woman, you are free from your ailment." And immediately she was able to stand up straight. The text says, then she began to give praise to God. How comfortable this woman must have suddenly felt. She could now return to a full life in her community. And further, it's apparent that she became an agent, a representative, a messenger of the grace of God. Here we see a function of one of the features of fire, restoring something to its desired shape. Her response to the healing work of Jesus was to give praise. Not so the leader of the synagogue. Vigorous and very harsh he was in his criticism of this act of Jesus, because Jesus broke the Sabbath law by healing this woman. And likely he was also upset, let's face it, because he made a woman, a vehicle of God's grace. Jesus, in turn, was dismissive of this withering criticism launched by the synagogue leader, suggesting, and not subtly, to the leader of the synagogue that he was placing animals and their needs on the Sabbath ahead of the needs of this woman who'd been suffering for 18 years. Jesus sought in his reply to broaden and to enrich the meaning of the Sabbath. And while doing so, he raised this sly question. Now, Mr. Synagogue leader, he was saying, is there some work of God's grace which is not to be done on the Sabbath? And he went on to cleverly note that this child of Abraham, who had been bound for no less than 18 years by Satan, but surely her need was important as the need of any animal for water on the Sabbath. The text says that the opponents of Jesus were put to shame, and the people rejoiced in the wonderful things that Jesus was doing among them. This story and these two features of God's grace, cleansing and refreshing, surely lift up for us what it means to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Baptism has to do with our being planted in the pattern of Jesus, which is Good Friday and Easter Day. Baptism and the story told by Luke both challenge whatever it is within us and our attitudes, whatever that needs some examining, some daylight, some uprooting perhaps, whatever needs purging or cleansing or purifying or changing or transforming. Examples: any self-righteousness that we may have, rigidity, easy answers to complex questions, any blindness to the way of God, any denial of God's grace. Our baptism challenges any person who has a sense and who has received the grace of God to act with generosity and with graciousness. Our baptism in this story told by Luke reminds us that the grace of God is always there to lift us up and encourage us. To provide us with encouragement whenever we feel bent over, or burdened, or overwhelmed, or anxious, or lonely, or whenever we cling tenaciously to unhealthy or disruptive habits or customs or patterns. God's grace is there for us, for whatever form our being bent over may take, reassuring us, giving us strength, refreshing us, restoring us, even as fire restores the blueberry fields. Now, that story of the synagogue leader and the bent over woman also lifts up another feature of baptism, namely God using that bent over woman as God used young Jeremiah as agents of the grace of God. The woman began to praise God. Jeremiah was given the task of being a prophet. By our baptism, we are declared to be precious and sacred to God. And by our baptism, we're commissioned, ordained, consecrated to be agents and ambassadors of the grace of God, as was the venerable woman, as was young Jeremiah. So we too are involved in uprooting and pulling down, doing so with whatever hurts or harms or adversely affects the precious creatures of God. And we are also involved in being in our society agents of restoration and reconciliation, of healing, of comforting, of comfort and of peace. So let our closing prayer be that God will bless us with the wisdom and strength as we seek to pluck up and to pull down, as we seek to build and to plant. Thanks be to God. Because it's a warm day, I suggest that we now remain seated for the singing of the next hymn, which is number 566. This poetry is by Augustine, lovely rich poetry. Hope you enjoy singing this hymn to the praise of God, number 566. Let us stand, and I will read a section from Living Faith, and then we will have an offertory prayer. We are called to work out the meaning of our lives. We are called to find out our true vocation in the love and service of God. We serve and love God by the service and love of creation, especially in the care of the needy. Every kind of work that is honest and serves others is surely a vocation from the Lord. Calling means the necessity to deny selfish ambition and desire in order to minister to others. In God's service, true freedom is to be found. Let us pray. God, who has enriched us in so many ways, blessing us with the generosity of your love and grace, we offer our praise. In offering our praise, we bring ourselves, dedicating ourselves anew to you, and we bring our gifts for the work and ministry of your church. Bless each one of us as we seek to be your representatives in the world, even though, like Jeremiah, we may feel hesitant. Grant that your church can use Christ in your gifts. Gifts that have been made for the well-being of the church's ministry and for the well-being of the people that it serves. In the name of Jesus, we offer our prayer. So I'd like to offer a word of welcome to all of those who have joined us this morning via Zoom, that being how many households? 11 households. And welcoming those who are here in this shell of worship. Especially we extend a word of welcome to the family that was with us for worship a few weeks ago and has just moved into the Dartmouth area from Brazil. And maybe after the service, we'll have an opportunity to say a word of welcome to them. Also, I should like to welcome, for those of you who may have been in this church in the late 90s, that would be a few of us. We had a series of students from Knox College, four, I believe, over a period of about 11 years. The third one we shared with Iona Church, Debbie. We're happy to have Debbie here today and her daughter, Debbie Dover, and all the Reverend Debbie Dover and Wilson, and the daughter Elizabeth. And the member of the church, maybe they go something like this so we can see where they are. And then after the service, I hope people will have a chance to say a word of welcome to them. We're delighted after all these years to be back to service. She was very clever, however, she didn't announce her coming until late yesterday because she knew that there was no way that I would have the audacity to ask her to give the sermon at such a late time. Somebody would argue that she doesn't know her very well. I think she does. Anyway, I'm so pleased to have you here. She serves in a two-point, charge southwest of London in the city of Ontario, and has been there at the time of the ordination. Another person, no? Oh, yes, so we were in Georgia Bay first time. Yes. In any case, welcome from southwestern Ontario. And may God give blessings to you and your family and grace to you. Very well then, let us engage in a time of prayer. Let us pray. God, our prayer at the end of our regular service has two flavors, that of thanksgiving and that of requests and petitions. First, we set before you our thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for so much that is extended to us in your grace. You've blessed us with the precious gift of life. You've blessed us with the precious gift of family members and friends. Relationships with all of these that add such richness, such meaning to our living. We offer thanksgiving for the world in which we dwell, the beauty of your world, and for its many and various gifts. Thank you, O God, for all that is confirmed to us in our baptism, of being appointed by you of being reassured by you of your presence and support, and through our baptism, of the reality that you have a word for us to receive, to embrace, and to convey to others in your world. Praise be to you, O God, for being for us like a consuming fire, purging and blessing. You remember with thanksgiving the story of the woman bent over for 18 years, given healing, and provided the opportunity for proclamation. Thanks and praise be given to you for our Lord Jesus Christ, for all that he had to say in his ministry, and for his many acts of understanding and compassion. We further praise you for placing us in a kingdom that the letter to the Hebrews describes as one that cannot be shaken. That you've given to us in the church the same challenge that you gave Jeremiah, to pluck up and pull down when necessary, and to build up and plant where opportunity presents itself, and where we are fulfilling the responsibilities given to us within the church. We acknowledge the various ministries of the church, giving thanks this day for the completion of the 2022 season of church camping at the Synod Camp at Camp Day, led by one of our elders, Whitney Canning, and the various staff members. We thank you for the campers who came and participated in what was offered in that ministry. Here are prayers for those who are beginning new ministries these days and have completed times of preparation and of learning. We move now to acknowledge in our prayer the difficulties that are faced by many in our world, some within our nation, some in other parts of the world, some because of the ravages of weather, some because of the difficulties posed by poverty and by other problems in society. We remember the people of Ukraine and the hostilities that are taking place there, persons being injured, persons being killed. We now remember before you family members and friends who are very much on our minds these days for whatever reason. We think of them, we pray for them, we root for them. We set them before you, trusting that you will guide and support them as they make their journey with the challenges that they face. Hear us as we offer prayers in silence. And now we hold before you with deep gratitude those who walked before you, having done their part in their day and generation to pluck up and pull down, to build and to plant. We remember them, their devotion, their love, and their service. May that remembering assist us as we strive to be faithful servants in your kingdom. We now offer to you the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Let us now join together in singing the concluding hymn, Lead Us, Heavenly Father, Lead Us, number 647 in the hymn book. 647. Grace, mercy, and peace, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, descend upon you and dwell in your hearts this day and forever.